tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 13. 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 13.
All right, 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 13 reads this way. It says, "And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, Lord, with expectant hearts, because we know that you are in our midst. You've promised where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. And so we thank you for that. And we ask, Lord, that you bless your word, bless the service tonight. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in truth and spirit. Lord, that you would be highly exalted and glorified in our hearts and minds, and that you would empower our lives to be the light and the salt of the earth. Bless and draw each and every one of us closer to you and to one another, and we'll praise and thank you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Going After the Inside Man. Going After the Inside Man. And here we find the prophet of God, and they're after him. They're wanting to know some things. We're going to look at this text, but this is really the place that God wants his children to walk and live in. So Ben-Hadad is the Syrian king, and he's not happy with what Elisha's been doing, and we're going to look at that here in just a moment. But they wanted to apprehend him because of the prophet Elisha. The king of Israel knew exactly what was going on and where not to go so that they would not be entrapped or caught up in battle and defeated. And so this was an unpleasant thing to this king. And so he was after Elisha because he was the one that was on the inside. And so he was on the inside. He had the know on the inside. And we're going to see that here in just a moment. But God wants you and I also on the inside. And not only that, but listen, he wants us to walk with the inside man, right? The new man, the inner man. And so there's a dual purpose here, but we're going to look at the textual interpretation and we're going to see a spiritual application here. But there's just two thoughts tonight. Ready? Revelations of our most secret place and what happens when God's servants are in his hands, right? When we're being led by the Lord, when we're in fellowship with him, when we're in the Spirit of God, so there's some things that take place in the life of the believer and also for the world. So let's just look at these revelations of our most secret place. Look at verse 8 with me, if you will, back up there. It says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come together." So the king of Syria, he's making war against Israel. He says, here's where I'm going to set up my camp. And then the prophet of God, Elisha, says to the king of Israel, don't, make sure you're not there, because that's where the king of Syria is, and there's going to be trouble. And the king of Israel, verse 10, sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, listen, and saved him there not once or twice, but many times. So can you imagine scheme after scheme after scheme from the Syrian king only wound up in defeat because there was no army there to fight? So the king said, we're going to set up here, we're going to trap Israel, and the king and his army made sure they were in another location, in another place. And so he said, not once, not twice, but the insinuation is there more than that, that God had protected him. Do you know that God protects you and I as well? But there are times that God wants us in the midst of the battle. But listen, when they're trying to overthrow us, when the world is trying to overthrow us, and when the flesh is trying to overthrow us, God will show us the way out. God wants us to be excited about our relationship with him. So here's this scheme, here's this plan that's going on. And I want you to notice what happens here in verse 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. So needless to say, it bothered the king of Syria that every plan he came up with was being overthrown. May I tell you something? I mentioned this, I think, Sunday. Nothing is going to overthrow the plan of God. There's not a government, there's not a power, there's not a force, there's not anything that is going to overcome the plan of God. And let me ask you this, are you and I, as saved children of God, part of His plan? Oh, come on. He is. Listen, we are. We are part, by the grace of God, we are part of His plan. And so all we need to do is just place ourselves willingly in the hands of God and say, yes, Lord, your will for me, because He watches over us. So this king of Syria, he's troubled. And notice what it says here. Again, he says in verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, we're in verse 11, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Do you know what he thought? There was a traitor in his midst. Listen, here's why he came to this conclusion. There is no way Israel could know this unless it was not coming from within. And then notice his answer. Verse 12, and one of his servants said, none, my Lord. There's none of us that are for the king of Israel. But Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, listen, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. There's nobody in his bedchamber but he and his spouse, if he's married, or he and nobody else. And so this is the revelations of our most secret place. God knows everything about it. And informs, listen, there's not one political leader, there's not one conspirator, there's not one soul on planet Earth that God doesn't know and has already been there concerning His present plans and future plans. God's already been there. Isn't that amazing? And so God watches over you and I. And so that's just the first thought. Here's the revelations of the innermost places of our lives. And this is taking place not only in the lives of God's enemies, but also for His children. God knows our innermost heart. And that's a good place to be. And believe it or not, listen, it's even good for the world that God knows everything that's going on, because that's their only hope. That God knows. And listen, because God knew before we ever even came into being, He prepared a way for you and I to have eternal life through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we thank the Lord for that. Now, what happens, this is the last thought here, what happens when God's servants are in His hands? Well, there is a revelation of the unseen battle. And then there is a revelation of an unknown wisdom, unless God tells us, we don't know it. And then there is a revelation of God's great grace. So let's just look at those three subpoints of the last thought, and that is what happens when God's servants are in His hands. And listen, may it encourage us tonight to say, God, may I be more in Your hands. So notice what it says here, verse 13. And he said, go and spy where he is, Elisha, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Now he is going after the inside man. Here's the application. May you and I go after the new man, the inside man that's inside of us, the Holy Spirit. Now listen, the lost are not rational. Spiritually speaking, the lost are not rational. If Elisha knows every plan he's got, will Elisha not also know that he's coming for him? He didn't even think about that. If Elisha knows every plan I'm planning, and he's not in my bedroom, so he knows what's going on, does it not stand to reason that this is just not going to work? Listen, but he's sending out his army. He's sending out his troops to fulfill something that is only, it's been foiled time and time again, and this time will be foiled also. But let's see what happens here. So verse 14 it says, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots. Listen, and a great host. It's not a small army. And they came by night. That's see? nothing is hid from the eyes of God, even at night. So they come by night and compass the city about. So if you can imagine, this city is overtaken with this army. So this is a big army. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? So Elisha has a servant, right, that's ministering to him. And the servant gets up and he, you know, rubs the sleep out of his eyes and looks out, maybe washes his face and gets up and, oh my goodness, look, master, we're in trouble now. And then notice what happens right here. And he answered, verse 16, fear not. You know, that's the wonderful thing about being in the hand of God. Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they would be with them. Don't we need to know that? Elisha was walking in that truth, was experiencing that truth. Now watch this, listen. And Elisha prayed. What, let me ask you this question. Why is Elisha praying? For his own benefit or for his servant? If Elisha cares enough for his servant, how do you think God feels about us? So he prays for his servant and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, can I throw a little conjecture out here for you guys to entertain? One of two things, and I don't know which one. Let's look at it on this side. Ready? Elisha didn't need to see all those fiery chariots. By faith, he knew they were there. And he asked the Lord to open up, and they both saw him. Or, because of Elisha's walk with the Lord, I mean, listen, the servant's the one is the first one that got notice of it all. I'm going to tell you, the first thing I'm telling you is the case that Elisha didn't need to see it because God was already telling him every plan that the Syrian king was doing. And so do you think Elisha knew that God was with him? Does God want you and I to know that he's with us? He wants you and I to experience him. And listen, what do you think Elisha was thinking about when the prophet came to him and said, oh my goodness, are we in trouble now? What do you, Elisha already knowing it, whether he saw it or whether he didn't see it, do you think Elisha had the confidence that God was in control? Obviously, he already knew what was out there. Did he not? I don't know if he saw it, but he already knew it was out there by faith. He had seen God's continual blessing and promise in his life. Question, was Elisha's cup half full? Was Elisha's cup just filled to the top? Or do you think it was overflowing and it spilled over into his servant's life? It's not finished yet either. As we look at the story, we'll see what's happening. Believe it or not, and I pray you believe it, that's God's will for your life and mine. Because Elisha was not a testimony to God based upon what he did for God. Elisha was a testimony for God because of what God was doing for him and through him. God wants you and I to have the light of God and the salt of God, not to conjure up our own. This was real power from God. I believe the church today is running on its own power instead of the power of God. And that's why there's no excitement about what God's... Listen, it is a problem, I think, when the church begins to look and talk like the world. The Bible says so. And why do they do that? Because they're looking for something that they don't have. And that's fulfillment, contentment, happiness, and joy. And if they're not getting it from God, they're going to look for it somewhere else. The Christian life is not a life of suppression. make myself do this, make myself not do that. Push, because I promise you, what happens is it's going to release somewhere else. And it's not the power of God. We'll look for it in the world if we don't find it in the Lord. So Elisha is on topside, to say the least, is he not? Not only is Elisha on topside, but do you think he wants his servant to know the same thing he knows? Do you think God's trying to keep a secret from us concerning our relationship with him? Do you know that God wants to bring us in to his presence? Do you know that God wants to bring us in to his power? Because it is his presence, it is his power that will enable us to be the witness and the light of the world that he's called us to be. The biggest problem is we are self-focused. That's our nature. I'm telling you, listen, you say, Brother George, you talk about the Spirit a lot. And in fact, you can make me almost feel bashful about it. But that is the will of God for you and I to know, because that's where victory comes and that's where the honor and glory of God comes from. Now watch this. And you'll see the moving of the Spirit here. So he says, verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Wouldn't that be good for us too? Lord, open my eyes that I might not be blind to spiritual things, but that I might see what your eyes see, that I might see myself, and that I might see the interference of myself that keeps you from doing your will and work in my life. So he says, open up his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes, and the young man, and he saw. So there we go, right there. Both of them are seeing, are they not? All right. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Isn't that something? Do you think they were encouraged a little bit? They said, boy, oh boy. Now picture this, ready? This horses and chariots and mighty men, army, right? And they're standing there probably all real confident, aren't they? And now, who do you think is standing more confident, Elisha and his servant or those soldiers? Elisha and his servant know something. Those soldiers have no clue. And I think, listen, one angel can wipe things out. And here you've got a host of angels. They were not worried in the least. So there is a revelation of the unseen battle that is given to the believer as we place ourselves in the hands of God. There is also a revelation of an unknown wisdom and a revelation of God's great grace. Let's look at verse 18, and we're going to see this revelation of an unknown wisdom. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. Listen, look at the Spirit of Christ in that. He didn't ask the Lord to wipe them out. And it wasn't going to be a permanent blindness, just temporary. Smite them. Now, where did he get that? That wasn't his own idea. That was not his own idea. He was walking in the Spirit of God, and it was in tune with the Spirit of God, and he knew what to ask for. Wouldn't that be amazing for you and I to be in the Spirit of God and know what to ask for, and God answers it? Do you think that might build our faith a little bit? Absolutely. And notice this, he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Amen is right. Is God moving? Through who? Elisha. A human being, just like you and I. Is it God's will that he moves through your life and mine? The New Testament is filled with it. You're seeing it here in the Old Testament. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way. Now, how in the world does this happen? This is not the way. Neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. Isn't that amazing? And he is going to bring him to the way, to the man that they're seeking. He's just not revealing it's him right now. But are they going to see the man whom they seek? Yep, he's going to bring him right to him. So watch what happens right here. I will bring you to the man whom you seek, but he led them to Samaria. This is going now back to the king of Israel. And it came to pass when they were come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, this is a temporary blindness. I don't know how long this walk was, but I'm sure it wasn't just right around the block. Open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Uh-oh. Not the place they thought they were going to be. So there they are. And as we consider this, this is a revelation of unknown wisdom. Elisha knew what to do and what to say because he was in the will of God. And by the way, the reason why he was in the will of God is because God placed him there. God gave him the revelations that he needed to know because he was a willing servant. Lord, I am willing to trust you to do with me as you will. That is what's required, and God will do the rest. Lord, I am willing to experience your grace, not my effort. Your power, not my ability or what I can come up with. But I want to experience you. And watch what God will do. Because that's all you have to do. That's all we have to do. Now, we have the flesh and we deal with the world and all that. So it's not just a one-time always thing, but that we may know we have to seek the Lord, not ourselves or what we think. And God will do things for us and show us the way. We walk like we think we know the way. Well, if we just do this and we just get that and we just do this and the other, this will be the result of it. Not when it comes to the things of God. And then if you do it, what do you think you got? A mess. Amen. Come on now. You want a crowd? Put up free barbecue signs out there. You think you'll draw a crowd? But then you won't see them the next day when it comes for worship because it's human manufactured. It has to be God or it won't happen. And we're just fooling ourselves. So let's see what happens here. So here we see what happens when God's servants are in his hands. We find that there's a revelation of the unseen battle, and it's understood properly. And then there's a revelation of an unknown wisdom. God was leading Elisha to do what he did. And then there's a revelation of God's great grace. Look at verse 21 with me. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, isn't that amazing? He was not a godly king. My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? He can't. He's like, this is the. I can be done with this, right? I can get rid of this. This is his problem. This is his thorn in the flesh. This is the opposition. This is what's constantly going after him. I'll be done with it. So what happens here? Verse 22, and he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Now, this is a rhetorical question, one that doesn't need answering. Ready? Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Would you do that? So, picture this. You're in the heat of a battle, and finally the other army sees it's defeated. It's defeated. They raise the white flag. You know what they're saying? We drop our arms. We're dropping our arms. You know what us are saying? We are putting our lives into your hands. Please be merciful. So he had to be reminded. All he saw was that this was the opposition that was constantly after him. I want to be done with it. And no. God says, we're going to do something different because their eyes have been opened to a whole lot. This whole crew has been blinded. This whole crew has been misled, thinking that they were going to come to their to fulfill their means of what they wanted to do, and everything's been flipped upside down in their lives, and they are open to the grace of God. So what happens here? He says, no, don't do that. Verse 22. And notice he says, set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Wow. Wow. That is the grace of God. Eat and drink Do you see that? Look at the life of Elijah and the servant that was tagging along with him and what God was doing through them to an opposition and even to the people of God, that they might see the great grace of God and that they may go their way. Isn't that amazing? Verse 23, last verse we're going to look at here. And he prepared great provisions for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the hands or bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. That is the grace of God. That's what happens. Listen, when the world goes after the inside man, and that is what happens, especially for the child of God, when we go after the inside man, from Elisha's standpoint, when we go after the new man, the inner man, the one that's filled with the Holy Spirit, he shows us all these things. Now, who do you think went away happier? That's a good question, isn't it? I don't know that I have the answer for you. But Elisha just chalked up another one for God, and another one for God, and another one for God. Do you think Elisha said, I did all that? Huh? Man, did you see that? Did you see my idea? You think that was ever any idea? You think Elisha could have come up with any of that? Do you think Elisha would try to claim any of that? Do you think Elisha gave God all the glory for that? That's what God wants from us. My son, my daughter, give me thine heart. And watch what he'll do with it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the salvation that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that you've indwelt us with, that would glorify you in and through our lives. Bless the rest of this time as we gather together for prayer. And Lord, we pray that you would just guide our hearts and minds to understand your will for our lives, and that we might submit ourselves before you to have your way in each and every one of our lives, that we might truly be the church that would glorify you and be found faithful as you've promised. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.